That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say.
What happens to you, Frank?
You're riding high in April.
Oh, no.
Shot down in May.
Oh, God, and here it is,
but
July.
I'm gonna change.
I got a loving couple in my studio from my Wild Card Wednesday program. Just happened to ask Mrs. Duarte, Connie, the lovely Connie, what do you like? And couldn't think of one, but you do like, we all like Sinatra.
Yes.
This is not used as a theme for anything, but this one is. Guess what show this is the theme from? You can hear it in your earphones, right, both of you?
Come fly with me, let's fly away.
That's Joe Daly and myself talking aviation on Monday.
Perfect.
All right, let me fade it out here because we got other things to talk about with Ray. How you doing, Ray?
Joe, it's just fine. Good morning.
Yours aren't working, are they?
Oh, they are.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay. Yours didn't work.
Well, they did. I just had the wrong ones on. Okay.
Well, if they were working, why are they the wrong ones?
These are better.
Well, yeah. What they do is they turn them down. I don't know why they do that. Well, here we are holding hands with some of my favorite people. Lunchmate from Friday. First introduced to our little group on Fridays by the late Steve Brown, who passed away. Mm-hmm. And I guess we've lost a couple. Not sure the status of Bob Burton. I hear he's in a home.
Possibly
follow up to stroke or something like that.
Yes.
Heart problems. But you have been married to the lovely Connie, to your right. How many years now, Ray Duarte?
32 years.
Starting to get real serious. You might want to turn off.
Good enough for me to marry Connie just once.
Yeah.
You did it twice?
I married her twice because once wasn't good enough.
Pull the mic over to you so we can hear you.
We're working on the third time here, but that's okay.
When was the renewal of vows?
Actually, it was only 3 years after we got married the first time.
Oh, you guys just had to have another wedding party, didn't you?
Well, we were originally married in the Armenian church. I'm Armenian. And then later, he wanted to be married in the Catholic church because he's Catholic. We didn't realize we could have had a Catholic priest in there during the Armenian service. They're very similar.
It turns out that the two religious organizations are kissing cousins.
Well, you're Eastern Orthodox then, right? It's a Christian religion.
Oh, absolutely.
It's
yes.
just post-Constantine. I believe that was the 3rd century. Emperor Constantine moved everything over to Istanbul, and that would be your church or the center for a while.
Yeah, I don't really. I'm not a historian.
Christianity, at least the Catholic side of things, divided. And then in 1500, a gentleman, a priest by the name of Luther, really divided Christianity, if you know what I'm talking about. But you're a good Catholic couple.
Yeah.
So you've had a wedding in each of your respective churches.
Yes.
What was your maiden name?
Garabedian or Garabedian, if you say it the correct way.
Do all Armenians have that I-A-N or Y-A-N at the end?
As far as I know.
Ever heard of William Saroyan?
Oh, yes.
Do you know Cher's real last name?
I don't.
She is Armenian.
Yes. At least half Armenian, yes. I believe.
Oh, she's half?
I believe, yeah.
And good people. You're happy. I see a big smile on this man's face. Got his mother still alive, his wife at his side 32 years. And you met her by caring for her mother.
Correct.
And you were a nurse at the time. You had a career, is that correct, as a nurse?
Yes. I got a California licensed registered nurse. And before that, an LVN, a licensed vocational nurse. But I was in nursing. Actually, my nursing career began on January the 5th, 1967.
67, you became a nurse.
I would say an orderly.
Oh, an orderly, not
and
a
then,
nurse.
But in nursing school. And after 3.5 years of nurse's training, first getting my LVN and then my RN, I graduated as an RN on June the 18th, 1971.
LVN is licensed vocational?
Licensed vocational nurse.
Is that a step toward, if you go all the way, doctor, or is that a totally different path?
Well, it's a different path, but I think it's a good background for someone who wants to go into medicine, but it's a long path. It's long enough as it is for someone who just goes through med school.
Basically, you can do the shots, but you can't do the prognosis or the diagnosis or prescribe
Well, there are nurse practitioners who are limited to some diagnoses and administration of meds, but that's yet a higher level than your standard RN.
All right. Well, Ray, and you retired after 67, you entered. Then when did you leave?
My last assignment was I was a clinical instructor with the Bryman School, and I was teaching young people to become certified dialysis technicians, and that was my last assignment was in 2007.
You're getting calls a lot, aren't you, on your cell phone? I assume it's you can take them if you want during a break.
No, I assume it.
Is it yours or his?
No, it's mine.
Well, it's all right. Don't be sorry. We're a very loose station here.
It's not a phone call.
It's
CNN. It's an alert.
CNN reporting stuff.
Mine is all on, I've got it on my person, but it's all vibration.
That's smart.
And occasionally that's what happens when I'm sitting here doing the show. It's vibrating like hell.
He gets beeped every time an earthquake occurs somewhere.
Now, that leads us to our topic. Ray Doherty told me in my studio over a month ago, and I said, I got to have you in here to talk about this, that there is a link somehow between dialysis, kidney dialysis, and earthquakes.
Absolutely.
Now, earthquakes were big in your life because was it toward the end of your career that you suffered the big one? You were at one of the big ones down in Northridge?
I was about to graduate from the RN program. It was on February 9th.
So it was the beginning of your career.
Yeah.
It didn't affect it or end it or anything.
1971.
Okay, you were in the Valley.
Yes, I was taking classes at Los Angeles Valley College and then attending lab work studies at the different hospitals. At that particular time, I was at Olive View Medical Center.
Okay, and you hadn't been certified yet or whatever the word is?
Well, I had my LVN, but
you were an LVN license.
I was working towards getting my RN license.
Does an LVN work in a hospital or for a doctor?
Both.
Okay, so you were in which hospital?
Well, I was working as an employee. I was working at Kaiser Hospital in Panama City.
Kaiser?
Yes, and I can tell you for a fact that the emergency radio system was based there.
Because
Kaiser Hospital in Panorama City. Now, it was destroyed. With severe ground shaking, that radio was destroyed. And in fact, there was no communication between the hospitals for several hours.
You're talking about a communication system among hospitals?
An emergency communication system hospitals. It's like a shortwave radio.
Oh, it's like shortwave. Okay. That was wiped out with is this the Northridge quake?
No, this was the Sylmar. San Fernando quake.
Oh, which was equally as bad, if not worse?
Well, pretty close. Sylmar was 6.5, and Northridge was like closer to 6.8, but it was a different type of fault.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Which one pancaked the apartment houses on top of the...
Well, they both
garages.
Did. Both did. But the ones that you saw on television were from the quake in 94.
Got it.
January the 17th, to be exact.
And how did it affect you?
Well, in 1971, I was supposed to be at Olive View Medical Center on that particular day that the earthquake hit.
That's
and
right.
I had excused myself from my studies on that particular day because I was attending my grandfather's funeral. So instead of being at Olive View Medical Center, and it hit about 6:01 in the morning, this is February 9th, 1971, I would have been walking underneath an ambulance port, which actually collapsed and killed two people that were running out of the building.
Jeez.
If you look at the statistics of the 1933 earthquake, and there was 120 people were killed, 90% of them died because they were either running in or running out of a building. So the best choice to make under severe ground shaking, and it's really tough to think about as it's happening because you have no warning as to, you know, get into what might may be the safest area. For example, if you're in a kitchen, try to get out of the kitchen. That's the most dangerous room in the house.
Right. Had you met Connie yet?
Mm-mm. No.
You guys had yet to meet?
Yes.
Do you remember where you were, Mrs. Doherty, when this quake?
Actually, I do. I was living in Inglewood area. And in a apartment, two-story apartment, and right on the flight path from the LAX, the planes used to fly right over our apartment. But anyway, and I remember because I was standing in the window, and all of the water in the pool was going like this.
Like, yeah, no, like we're on radio, like Connie. Nobody can see what you're doing.
I could throw it away.
It was sloshing. It was like sloshing. Spin cycle in your washing machine.
Right.
My God.
And these dangling plants were going again. Back and forth.
Yeah. Let's take a break. Take 2 minutes. Come back and rejoin these people for this conversation. We'll get to the meeting and caring for mom. And somehow during this hour, you're going to tell us what the heck dialysis has in common with earthquakes. Ray Doherty, don't go away. I'm Connie. And Frank. The clarinet.
Right.
They like Kenny G, and that's good music to use for this. We'll go to some of their other favorites. It's one of the advantages of being on my Wednesday wildcard show. You get to pick your own music, if you think about it. Ray Doherty, one of our longtime friends from the Lodge and a lunch mate, now at Esau's and back and forth to Cody's, occasionally Palacios, except you were out of town at your mother's birthday. And I'll fade out on Kenny G and your lovely bride of 32 years. Not confirmed once, but twice, dear friends. Is that your side? That's Connie, whose last name, Armenian, was what again?
Karabedian.
Karabedian. From Orange County, is that where you
Inglewood.
Say?
Inglewood.
Oh, well, that's okay. That's north of
that's
still L.A., isn't it?
Yeah.
So you hadn't met this man, but you know all about you wrote this in a book, didn't you? You had a little story. What's the name of that book?
Forever Smile. Well, the book is The Angel Effect.
And it's a collection, if you will.
It's a collection of short stories. There's about 40 short stories. And
one of them is yours.
Yeah. Well, they're all, in this particular book, they're all mine.
And you,
I also had stories published in Chicken Soup.
Chicken Soup? Yes. Canfield's?
Yes.
Series?
My first published short story was in Chicken Soup.
You knew him?
You never met him.
Never met him, but you're part of his Chicken Soup for the Soul, right?
Yeah,
it was Chicken Soup for the Soul Love Stories was a specific edition.
That's why I brought Connie. She keeps me honest here.
Well, extra details.
Can we buy this or Google it, find it?
It's on Amazon.
It's on Amazon.com. And what's it called?
The Angel Effect.
The Angel Effect. You wrote it.
I wrote that one.
Now, is this the nonfiction, the actual story of the Silmar Day that you were saved by going to Grandpa's funeral? You hadn't gotten up yet. Right. I assume you were, in a hotel near the graveyard?
No, I was on the second floor of an apartment building. It was brand new.
A relative's house?
No, I was renting it.
Oh, you were living there?
Yes.
So you just stayed home that day, and except you were going out to the funeral.
I was sleeping in.
And boy, I tell you what awakening that was.
I woke up in midair.
You remember the date?
Yeah, it was February the 9th, 1971.
71. Now, wait a minute. Didn't you? So you hadn't become a nurse yet.
I was. I had my LVN, but I was 5 months away.
I believe you said earlier in the hour, Ray, 77, 78, 79, late 70s, you became the nurse.
Eight.
Was it 78?
Longer. I forget.
Well, 71, I graduated from Los Angeles Valley College School of Nursing.
And became the nurse.
71.
And then 20 years, 25, 30 years maximum before you hung it up for whatever reason.
It's about 35 years.
Okay. Had some great experiences. Had this shaken you up so much, this Silmar thing that could have killed you along with the other people, that you, had a quest? You had God on your shoulder, a guardian angel?
2 or 3 miles from the epicenter of a 6.5, it's an event you will never forget.
Why did you tell me the other day that dialysis and earthquakes have something in common? Let's go there right now and get this out of the way.
There's basically two different areas that you look at. One is, the type of kidney failure that patients have. And they can categorize them under chronic renal failure or acute renal failure. I'm going to focus on acute renal failure when moments before a traumatic experience like an earthquake, the person is walking around with normally functioning kidneys, and then you have a severe ground shaking and buildings fall, and these people are buried under rubble for not hours but days. And then they suffer something that was written about back in the early part of the 20th century during World War One, something called crush syndrome. And what basically happens is it's the severe injuries to the muscles and the release of globulins into the bloodstream. Now, if the person can be taken out of the rubble, beneath the rubble, quickly and placed on IV solutions, they will not suffer what is referred to as rhabdomyolysis. But the best case to bring to you is the Loma Prieta earthquake in October of 1989, when that freeway collapsed, and there were several people that were crushed there. But one particular gentleman, Buck Helm, was there for days before he was able, and he was taken out alive, but he suffered severely from crush syndrome, among other things. But he was had to be on dialysis, so the kidneys failed because of an acute trauma. That's the connection between earthquakes and dialysis.
Okay.
Also, if you look at the chronic patients, in order for them to receive their weekly treatments, of which they get three treatments a week, they have to have dialysis machines that work that would be destroyed in severe ground shaking. They have to have personnel who know how to administer those treatments. They have to have filters that are sterile. That's going to go away. And more importantly, you're going to have water. And not just plain water, but water that's been treated.
Okay, so purified.
Through an RO system, reverse osmosis system. All of that goes away.
When you have
an earthquake like the one we had in 1906 in San Francisco with severe ground shaking.
You know, who would have thought? So they come out of it needing dialysis. Before it happened, they were fine.
The patients who suffer acute trauma, yes, they were fine a minute before the quake, but because of the injury and having to be immobilized for such a long period of time, when they're finally gotten to it and they're still alive, they will be in renal failure.
But then also the chronic patient population is at risk. That's a major factor. People who are currently receiving dialysis.
It gets worse?
Well, it gets worse for them because their dialysis center may not be working. And if it's still standing, it may not have a backup generator because you need electricity. You need purified water.
Oh,
you need machines that work.
Sure.
Those machines would be destroyed. The ability to transport those patients through, you know, topography that's been really broken up. I remember driving through the city of San Fernando in 1971 for the Sylmar quake, and it looked like a war zone. That's when I got really scared. I had never seen anything like that.
You woke up on the morning of your grandfather's funeral on that day, right? Is that what happened?
Well, the quake hit at 6:01.
All right. Well, they
woke up.
Funerals at 6:01, so that was before.
I was in midair.
I understand that, but my question was going to be, did they go ahead with the funeral?
Oh, no. It was postponed for a few days because the Van Orman Dam was threatening to fail, and that entire area, including the cemetery, was closed.
And Grandpa's body was in a home at the time, or a funeral home, and could remain on ice for...
Yes.
And so later on, you had the internment or whatever. He was buried.
Yeah, so a couple of days later.
Okay. Just a side question that's pivotal to this whole issue. Have you officiated as an LVN or an RN at dialysis sessions? Do you plug them in, hook them up, and know the whole routine?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All right. Well, I've got 3 minutes for my next break. I'd like to know, for my own edification, we all know what it is. The blood, it gets taken out of the body and circulated, cleansed, like your kidneys would do, but the kidneys aren't functioning. So it has to be taken out of the body. It takes hours. Where the heck do they take it from? And what the size of a needle that would have to be, you know, the needles I get injected with to take my blood, I don't think would empty me in any time soon, any short. So it's got to be a pretty big size hole.
Yep.
Where would you put it in?
The first dialysis treatments were performed in Europe in 1942, and they were limited to three treatments because there were several huge challenges, and one of them, and you've just hit the nail on, is access to the vascular system. So what they used to do is they would do a surgical cut down and tie a needle, which would rotate in the vein. They would sew a needle to an artery and one to a vein. And then,
sew? Are you saying like a suture. Seamstress would suture. Put suture. It in and then and sew it in and it, make it stay? It. Where? Which vein?
Well, usually a femoral.
What does that mean?
In the thigh.
Okay. There's a large enough. It's a vein or an artery?
Well, they used primarily veins that were large in nature, but they were limited to only three cutdowns. After the third cutdown, there weren't any more to be accessed. So patients that were treated very early on, they had three treatments to recover from renal failure and have their own kidneys working. But that has changed a lot since 1942. The challenges to access improved tremendously. I think the big breakthrough was by Dr. Belin Scribner in Seattle in 1960, when he created a device that was made of a celastic type tube that was chemically inert, and it could be sewn one to an artery, one to a vein, and then brought to the outside of the body and interconnected with a sterile Teflon interconnector, and then it was taped together, and that's made it possible to do chronic long-term dialysis. And other devices were soon created after that, using the patient's own blood vessels, where they would surgically connect a person's vein or artery to the vein. And we would use needles. And these were 16-gauge needles, these were fairly large needles.
Well, how big was it? That big as a pencil?
About a good-sized nail.
Oh, a large nail gets put through the 16, skin and into the body.
16-gauge, 15-gauge, 14-gauge.
All right, and it's always on the leg. And
not always.
No,
it's not always.
Not newer access types.
Was on her arm. My mother was on her.
Really?
Yeah.
All the blood that circulated in her body out?
No, we would borrow a small volume of the patient's blood and pass it through an artificial filter with a pump.
I know that, but it's out of the body, and it returns.
Yeah, but we're talking 3 ounces, no more than 3 ounces at a time.
Yeah, it's not like you'd suck it all out.
No, it's 3 ounces at a time, and it cycles back to the patient's body.
Okay, well, let's use some common sense here. 3 ounces taken out, that's about a half a cup, let's say. Mm. And it's cleansed and put back in with the dirty blood, and it's going to mix in.
Yes, and you have to remember that the total blood volume eventually gets treated 4 times during the course of a 3-4 hour treatment.
Yeah.
Which leads to even more questions, Ray. You're my man, and you have a lovely relationship here with your beautiful wife of two, not one, but two marriages. Let's take a break. Be right back. Before Neil Diamond gets to his singing here, Connie, did your family come to America from
Turkey?
Oh, from Turkey? Mm-hmm. Coming close to your mic there. There we go. Neil Diamond, some of our favorites. And then we'll put you to sleep in a few minutes with Barbara Streisand. Wind Beneath My Wings, or what's the From a Distance?
Bette Midler. Right?
Yeah, The Rose.
Oh, The Rose.
Yeah.
That was her, wasn't it? Or was that Barbara Streisand? It was Streisand.
Well, she made it really popular.
I think Bette Midler did.
No, you're right. It was Bette Midler.
It was Bette Midler. Yeah. I think so. Yeah. All right. I might be able to call that up, or we'll just go to the last part of this, going to our next break.
Barbara Streisand's good, too.
So here's the connection, as I now understand it, between dialysis, which is something that's life-giving, life-saving, and needed by a good portion of our population. By any chance, do you know... Scott Burns. I'm going to invite him to our lunch. He's lives up the street. Was one of the old Spanish days presidentes, maybe 12, 15 years ago. He's one of my regulars. He comes in on the first Wednesday of Fiesta. He'll be here in about 3 weeks.
I'd like to meet him.
Scott just finally got. I've been having him and Lisa, his wife, in my studio many times, and over the years, he didn't think there was a chance he'd get a new kidney. He finally got one.
Oh. A kidney transplant.
Fabulous. And it was in the newspaper a week or two ago. Oh. Mm-hmm. Woman gave out most of her body. I don't know what happened to her. I can't remember, but he got the kidney and owes her his life.
Yes.
And my question to you, going back to what you were telling me, is back in the 40s when they first proposed dialysis, it was only good three times. Why is that? Why couldn't they continue?
There was the large challenge was access to the vascular system, and there were no devices yet invented to allow for multiple access. So they would have to do a surgical, what they used to call a surgical cut down, and they would surgically connect the needles, one to draw and one to return, and to large veins. And there was quite a limit to the number of cut downs. It was limited to three.
Because they had to do it in the same place, and the body just couldn't
handle the same place. Once they finished utilizing one area, it would be tied off.
And couldn't use it. Again.
Well, they couldn't be used.
It tie off that
again.
Vein.
Yes,
it wouldn't be used again.
But that its tributaries would provide circulation to other parts of the body. But as far as access for the dialysis machines, and you know, if you could go to a museum where they showed these machines that they used, imagine a barrel with wood slats with every other slat missing.
Yeah.
And then imagine a metal trough, and inside is a chemical solution, and around the barrel are sausage casings and a gas engine that turns this drum. They used to call it a drum. Mm-hmm. Dialysis machines, but and the corkscrew effect of the rotation of this drum with the sausage casings wrapped around it is what drew the patient's blood out of the body and back into the body.
Well, I've seen pictures of the modern day, I assume it's the same, dialysis pumps, if you will, and it's a turning rounded rod with a tube around it.
Right, it's quite different. They have blood pumps and special tubing segments that will fit in there. That's part of the entire disposable system, connects to an artificial kidney.
So what you're saying, since you know your history so well, is that a lot of these people, after the third time they still needed it, they died.
Well, they very carefully selected the patients that would qualify for this treatment. It had to be those patients who were in acute renal failure, and the doctor or the team of doctors believed that this patient had a chance to recover. And those are the patients that were first treated.
But they didn't. And they didn't do kidney transplants back then, either, did they?
No, kidney transplants began late 1950s and early 60s, and they have continued to
improve.
And it is also, you must think of it as a treatment and not a cure. It's very demanding. There've been a tremendous amount of improvements on the medicines that are required for to prevent rejection of transplanted kidneys.
How much of that did you do? Was that a big part
of your first assignment career? When I was hired, when I first got my license as an RN, and I was hired by Los Angeles County USC Medical Center down in LA, Big G, we used to call it Big G. And my first assignment was to work in the kidney transplant unit, and I was trained to take over and be in charge of the unit at night.
Okay, so is there a typical patient? You get a cross-section, young, old, women, men, elderly?
Most of them were younger patients, but there were patients there in their 30s and 40s. I met a gentleman there that was on dialysis for 30 years.
So when a person needs this, what is happening to them toward the end? Are they not able to relieve themselves to pee, or is it bloody red? Or
if the kidneys
how do they know
are not,
it's bad?
You know, the kidneys are wonderful chemical factories.
Oh, we know that.
And
how do they know
once
that?
They stop working, the person gets into a lot of trouble real quick. And the ability to balance fluids goes away. The ability to balance electrolytes goes away. to maintain the acid base balance so the blood goes away. So all these things have to be replaced with dialysis treatments and diet.
But what's happening to the person? They can still go, or do they stop going?
Some of them will still void, but the quality of the urine is very poor,
Is it colored?
It is.
Come out in a color.
It doesn't have the metabolites.
What is metabolites?
Urea.
That's a metabolite.
It's something that the body needs to excrete to stay healthy. So it's like a poison to the body.
Is the balance of electrolytes, and in particular, the most important is potassium. Potassium has a very narrow range of normality. If it's too high, it will slow the heart down and stop it. If it's too low, the heart cannot regulate itself properly in the way of pumping blood. So potassium becomes a big issue. So we need to adjust the diet so the patient's potassium stays within that narrow range. This is along with dialysis treatments to help normalize it.
You call it an electrolyte?
Yes.
It's also a basic element.
Oh, yes.
And it's something
we need. But the kidneys keep you in balance, so you don't get too much or too little of anything. It just keeps you in balance.
You eat too many bananas, you get too much potassium. Yeah. I've heard
bananas, chocolate, nuts, all those.
Chocolate's got potassium.
Avocados.
Oh, don't tell me that.
But if your kidneys are working, it's not a problem. You don't have to worry about it.
But the connection involves the earthquake, what it does to a victim who's buried under rubble.
Yes,
and survives.
And the support system that is normally there for others who are receiving chronic maintenance dialysis treatments goes away. So, one of the very first things that dialysis patients are taught in this earthquake scenario is to cut back the amount of fluid and to really monitor the type of food that they eat.
Sure.
So that they will not require as much dialysis. They can go a week or two.
Scott was telling me he had a special diet.
Absolutely.
I'm looking forward to talking to him. We're looking forward to talking to our cutie couple here, the Duartes, with two marriages behind them and 32 happy years. I'm disgusted by the whole thing. We'll be right back to our compatible couples, Ray and Connie. This is a song you ought to hear the whole thing. It's Bette Midler live. It's not the version off the record, but what the hell? I saved 99 cents. Didn't have to download it from iTunes. It's right there on YouTube. And there she is on stage. She's a funny lady, the Divine Miss Emma. One of your favorites.
Yes.
We do that as a service.
Thank you.
Since we're talking to Ray Duarte, it's been about 10 years now you've been coming to Farmer Boy.
And that's right.
We lost our dear friend
Steve
Brown, passed away. What killed him? What was that? He went to the hospital with...
It was some strange, we don't know.
Was it a form of...
It was...
Parkinson's?
No, it was something really exotic. It was fast.
He's going to be missed. Debbie Davidson, she's one of our friends, is going to be missed. This is being recorded Wednesday, and she passed away last night of breast cancer. The lovely Connie, he mentions you at lunch all the time on Friday, and you're rarely there, but I know you're running this mini hotel, almost 6-bedroom place. And also you run a website called?
Yes, www.rayduarte.com.
And what does rayduarte.com feature?
The articles that we've been talking about today about earthquake and the dialysis connection. It also has everything I've written in the way of creative writing material. And it has a collection of letters written about me throughout my career.
Is your museum project on there?
Museum project is on there.
Uh-huh. A museum?
Right. Yes, in 85, 86, I collected old dialysis machines, and then I cleaned them up and made them
viewable.
Some of them were working.
And so in and a back alley, them. You can get cheap rate.
No,
I would take them to local kidney conferences and
set
them up.
These are the barrels you described earlier with the slats missing.
Yeah.
All that.
Turning like a sausage roll inside or something. Yeah. God, I'd love to see one.
It's progression of the evolution of the machine. And so
was it huge? I understand they're huge.
It was like the one I know, it's like a tub. It was a big metal tub.
Oh, my God. And you've got these?
Most of them still are.
Cottage might. Don't they have a museum, or do they not? I guess they do.
I'm not aware
they?
That they do.
Okay.
We've been trying to find a home for some of these pieces because they do. They are important in the history of dialysis.
There's got to be a medical devices over the centuries museum somewhere, probably over in Europe.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it has changed. Some of the stuff people had to do and undergo in the 1800s, my God, it'd be a nightmare today.
Yeah.
We're pretty safe, today, relatively speaking, as a rule. Do you miss nursing?
I do.
Okay. Well, how many of these machines do you have?
It's about 17 of them.
And how'd you get them?
Well, I just put the word out to the dialysis community, and I says, anybody that wants to get rid of equipment, I would love to take it off.
Do they go
hands.
Back to the 40s you were talking about, the first one?
I think the oldest one goes back to the 50s. But
that big tub? Is that the 50s?
50s, yeah. Oh. That's the,
There are devices at Cottage, and believe me, I've been in there enough over the years, as a lot of people our age have, that just cost millions.
Yeah.
Those big donuts that your body goes up into, I'm wondering what a good dialysis machine runs these days. Do you have any idea?
Thousands of dollars. It's important to remember with the dialysis and earthquake connection is the type. You have the filter. You have the patient, of course. You have the filter that does all the magic, but then you have a delivery system and the different kinds of delivery systems. Now, there are some delivery systems that mandate treated water under pressure, and it requires over 120 liters of water to be utilized. In an earthquake scenario, you won't have that much water to work with, much less the water pressure. So that's where the other type, the delivery system, becomes very important. It's a cartridge system. What's really interesting about the cartridge system is its history, that it was developed by NASA.
Cartridge.
It's a cartridge system where you take 6 liters of water and with an infusate, and the bath is regenerated by the cartridge. In other words, that the urine molecules are taken out, and then the bath can be used again for the same patient, not for different patients, but for the same patient. But the history behind it was that it came out of the NASA program because they were working on a project to filter astronaut urine into drinkable water again.
Oh.
So but they never, it was too expensive and too heavy to launch it to space, but there was an effort by NASA to any breakthroughs that they would make, they would be transferred to American industry, and one of them was this cartridge system, which was made into a dialysis machine. And what's important about this dialysis machine is that with the cartridge, now, instead of 120 liters
of water,
you need only 6.
Yeah.
And that's the type of, if you're going to have a plane with dialysis machines and limited water and power, then you would want to use a cartridge system and not the single pass system. The other thing that was important about, I had put together the Task Force 1, which is a group of doctor scientists, patients, to brainstorm all of these scenarios, and that's where my first article, Seismic Risks, comes from. I sat as chair. I chose my members who I knew were really, swift people on their feet and everything. But I lost my thought on those guys.
You have an article about this in your book.
Yes, it's
cartridges or something.
No, it's that's on my website.
The whole pictures included?
The museum project section does have.
Got to get you a museum unless we can find a place.
Yes.
Maybe it's called, are you ready? The Elephant Man Museum. Given that poor guy's condition and what he went through. And that's a great movie about
Yeah.
Ages ago, you know, 1800s yeah. medicine, if you watch that. I still have questions about the system itself since you've seen it done. As we go to our final break, folks, just tell me this. The blood is taken in dialysis from a vein, right? Just like drawing blood now, only on a little larger scale. Is that safe to say? From a vein?
It can be from a vein. It could be from an artery, depending on
what. Or it could
be
either.
It depends on what device is implanted.
All right. Why do you suppose they draw blood from veins? That's the blood that's gone purple or blue on the way back.
It doesn't have to be oxygenated.
It turns red when it goes into the vial. I don't know why that is.
Well, once it goes through the lungs, it'll get oxygenated, but that's not really the issue.
When it goes from the lungs, it's just come from the heart, which is right there.
Right.
So there's not a big trip through the lungs. It isn't. Am I right? It gets oxygenated immediately after being pumped.
Right.
And then it goes to the rest of the body?
Yes.
And as it goes to the rest of the body, it's red because it's got oxygen in it.
Right. But there's an arterial system which delivers oxygenated blood to the different organs and systems. And then there's a venous system which returns it back to the heart.
Yes, and that's your veins.
Those are your
arteries
veins.
Go to, yeah. Veins come back.
Yeah, and there are different sizes. Some of them are very large and some of them are capillaries in nature. They're very small.
We're going to take a break and come right back one more time. Far beneath the bitter snow. Guy in Los Lobos, Cesar something, a little off on the pronunciation of the song. Nevertheless, we do give you a varied mix of music on this one. As far as the theme, there is one. Go from Barbra Streisand to Neil Diamond to La Bamba, and earlier in the hour we had Kenny G and God Love Him. Yeah, it's Ray Duarte who has produced at least one, if not both, these articles I have in my hand.
Yes.
Seismic Risks in Nephrology from the New England Journal. You got published?
I was referenced in the New England Journal.
Oh, you're
medicine.
In this article.
I have
somewhere.
nine medical manuscripts in print.
This is his article. He wrote it, but it was referenced in the New England Journal.
Oh,
medicine, I think.
Reference to Seismic Risks in Nephrology, which is basically what you've been telling me, right?
Yes.
About people, I don't know how many, if there's a stat somewhere, a statistic, an ultimate number, how many people... I guess it'd be hundreds have been rescued alive from under rubble. I can't imagine, you know, certainly in world countries. Nepal just had an earthquake, and they got some live people in different places. A lot of them come out with full-fledged kidney disease. She's showing him now something in the article he will want to quote as we wrap up this topic.
It was the Armenian quake in 1989.
That was a big one, wasn't it? There.
It was reported that 6,000 patients
were in need of dialysis.
6,000? Yes. In what year?
1989.
There was no way they could do that many.
Was the October of 88 was when I published Seismic Risks in Nephrology, and that was referenced.
What is nephrology?
The study of kidneys.
Oh, okay, kidney.
Or the treatment of...
Renal means the same thing?
Renal is kidney. Yeah.
Kidney failure. Okay, and obviously they couldn't treat 6,000 unless it was running day and night.
Well,
and
that's what's really kind of interesting is that I have done some research about which were the first articles to reference dialysis and earthquakes as a topic. It turns out that mine was the first one to be published in a medical journal.
All right, so is it your assertion, Ray, that all of them needed problems or only some of them, a small percentage? Does it normally come if you're buried under quake rubble?
Thousands and thousands of people that were killed and many thousands that were under rubble.
So it's a physical phenomenon of being something falling on you that breaks the kidneys or hurts them and turns you into a person in need of dialysis. For life?
Once your kidneys fail, usually if it becomes chronic, yes. My mother did not ever recover from hers.
Do people who have to go in for dialysis, what is it, two, three times a week?
Normally, it's 3 times a week, 3 to 4 hours.
Do they still go to the restroom and have to urinate? But
some of them may have that clean. Part of it's the renal mass that still produces.
It depends on the
urine, but the urine is a very low quality.
Oh, of course, but you.
But
still
some patients just stop avoiding altogether because it's just not there.
And then they build up fluid. That was my mother's situation.
Really?
She had to be very careful of her fluid intake because
she
was
for her mother for this very problem.
Yes.
Well, that's how we met. Yeah.
I didn't realize that was the diagnosis.
Yeah. So dialysis brought us together.
And you hooked her mother up.
Yes.
How many times a week?
Oh, 3 times a week.
Is it painful? I guess it is. It would have to be invading the body. It's not pleasant for anybody.
There's a story in my book, The Angel Effect, entitled Emma Blue.
Entitled what?
Emma Blue is the title
can
of the story.
Can we read that on your website?
Actually, you have to read the book.
Wow.
There we go.
Which is on Amazon.com at Chaucer's.
Then we can find out from www.rayduarte.com.
Exactly. Yeah.
You got a phone number? Anybody want to call you, or you want to keep that to yourself?
Well, it's 805-569-5264.
We've run out of time, but thank you, Ray, and I'll see you at lunch. I'll get you a copy.
Thank